The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Hello, hello, and welcome. We're so glad to have you here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. I am your host, Misty Young, with my co-host, Sherry Carrie Baum.
Good morning.
Nice to be here together.
It is so nice to be here.
It's so wonderful. We're coming to you from KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial or anywhere in the world, any time of day, if you're checking in via podcast. Hey, we might even be intergalactic. I think maybe we are.
We are. Hey,
I'm sure of it.
I know people in Berlin that are listening to us.
Nice. Southern California. England.
Definitely Southern California.
Awesome. All over
pretty
the world.
Hot.
It is pretty neat. You know, we're coming to you from Brookings Harbor, Oregon. This is the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest. I like to say it's about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. This is the home of daffodils in December. It really, truly is. Like, yeah. I ride my bike in December. There are daffodils around Christmas time. It blows me away. But it's also flowers all year round and truly the nicest people you'll ever meet. I like to say that this is the place where the mountains and the old growth redwoods meet the sea because Harbor and Brookings is home to me and to you,
me
Sherry.
Me too, yes.
It's a great place to be.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I love it. Now, before we talk about nutrition today, a couple of things to share with you. First off, thank you to the entire KCIW sound engineering and production crew. We really appreciate these folks behind the scenes from this little station that could, that did, that is, even in the midst of coronavirus, even in the midst of lockdown, bringing you programming that matters. And those folks are doing a great job, whether they're on the board of directors or sitting behind a soundboard. Thank you very much to those folks. Now, today we're going to talk about high fat or low fat living. We're going to talk about cholesterol. Before we do, I'm going to give you a disclaimer. I am not a doctor. I am not a healthcare provider. I am a nutrition geek. I'm a nutrition nerd. I do hold a nutritional therapist certificate from the Health Sciences Academy and a plant-based nutrition certificate from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. Now, my co-host, on the other hand, is a medical professional.
Yep, definitely that.
That is absolutely true. Nurse Sherry Carrie Baum holds a Master of Science in Nursing. She has been a certified nurse practitioner. She has 35 years of experience treating people in health, you know,
absolutely
helping them
and
get healthy.
The fun thing is, as nurse practitioners and nurse midwives, we really are proponents of lifestyle and healing yourself through what you do on a daily basis.
Nice. I love to hear that. And I'm so glad to know that you have been active in helping people. And I want you to know how much you've helped me.
Oh, that's so nice.
It's for real, too. You know, and I think most of our listeners would agree, we get real on our show.
Yep.
And it's going to get...
TMI.
That's right, TMI. And here it comes. It's about to get as real as it can today on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. Before I finish saying that, and before I get into that story, I do want to say that not only are you a longtime nurse, but you hold a certificate as a whole food plant-based nutritional therapist from the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies at E. Cornell. And you're currently studying with the American College of Lifestyle Medicine for board certification in lifestyle medicine.
Absolutely.
So great.
Truly I believe in it. I think it's the only real cure tool for people who are struggling with their health and their weight.
It's so amazing. I know you and I have talked a lot about this, but I believe there are two ways to live your life. There's probably a lot of ways, but two ways that are real specific in my mind are either by design or default.
Right.
And I think most people kind of choose the default method because it's easier.
And it's overwhelming. Change is scary.
Yeah.
But we're here to tell you, we'll help you through it.
Yeah.
We really want you to make a change and feel good about your life and feel good in your body and not be hostage to all the diseases of the Western diet.
Yes.
And be vulnerable to viruses, the coronavirus.
Right.
I mean, we don't know what's coming next,
right,
but we do know that the number one way to protect yourself and your health is through what you eat and what you do on a daily basis.
Right. Your whole entire lifestyle package. So whether it's, it starts really at the end of your fork.
Right.
Right. So you've heard me say this so many times. It's your fingers, your fork, your food to your face.
Exactly.
It starts there. It starts with hydration. It starts with good sleep. It starts with a great mindset. Right. There's so many aspects.
Getting off that couch.
Yes.
You got to get off the couch. All of those things focus on lifestyle medicine.
You know, last week, just in our conversation, which, you know,
Food talk. It's always food talk. It's always energetic talk.
It's always talk about how we can become healthier. And something you said to me last week, I was kind of complaining a little bit about exercise. And, you know, I've said to you on more than one occasion that I don't really relish it. I don't love it. It's not my favorite. Mm-hmm. And you said something to the effect of, I want you to stop thinking about exercise as a mode of weight loss or weight maintenance. And I want you to think about it as for all the benefits, the other benefits.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about that? The benefits for your body from exercise?
Oh, exercise keeps your brain sharp. Mm-hmm. It circulates the oxygen. So it's keeping those muscles working properly. Mm-hmm. It's keeping your balance. Mm-hmm. It's keeping your thought process. It helps you to sleep. It helps you to relax and really decrease the stimulus to your nervous system. I mean, exercise, does anybody enjoy it? I think some people really do because they do get that workout high.
Yes.
You know, where when you really pump it up and you work out really well. And I know I get it when I turn on my country music.
Nice. Oh my gosh.
It's a playlist.
This is the first time I've ever heard you talk about country music. You listen to country music.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I listen to all music. I really like all music. Not so big on rap.
Yeah.
But I have a playlist, Country for Runners, and it's got that fast beat. And,
yes,
you know, country music really does have kind of a basic beat.
Right, yes.
And so it helps me to run a little bit faster. And, yeah, if I'm running by myself, usually at home or on my treadmill,
yeah,
you can hear me singing.
Oh, that's so great.
Belt it out.
Oh, my gosh, that is so great. Well, just so you know, I'm a dubstepper. Like, I like big sounds and lots of bass and a heavy-duty riff, you know?
But it keeps you going. It,
yes,
gives you that motivation, and it makes it fun. And we know that music is energetic, if,
yes,
you want it to be, or it can be relaxing. So pick a tune that makes you want to move.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, we've said this over and over, you don't have to move fast. But once your exercise becomes a habit,
yes,
you miss it. And you do look forward to it, even if you are sweating, mm-hmm, or if you're tired and you don't really want to do it. Let me tell you, I didn't really want to do it this morning.
Yeah.
Had no interest.
No interest.
I don't allow that self-talk. I just get up.
And do it.
Put my clothes on and do it.
Yeah.
I really do, because I know once I start, I'll be fine.
Well, Gary and I always say to each other, you never regret when you're done. Never.
Oh, never.
Yeah.
You feel good. The rest of the day flows. You're,
mm-hmm,
you're thinking clearer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, you really are pumping up that oxygen to all those cells that need the oxygen to work.
Well, last week when we were talking about exercise, you said to me, I've discovered I get cranky if I don't do it at the beginning of the day. Like,
I'm
it
really
sets you up.
Mean. Yeah.
You're mean? You cannot be mean.
A little cranky. I take it out on the weeds and my little cat. No.
I told you,
this new cat has adopted us, and he's a talker.
He chats it up.
Sometimes if I'm in a cranky mood, I have to put him outside because,
yeah,
he'll just meow at me the whole time. Follow me around and meow at me.
Yeah.
No, it just changes my mood. I'm just happier, and I think clearer.
Well, and it comes,
and I'm more motivated.
And you're more motivated.
Me.
Yeah.
I'm more motivated. I get more done.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? There's something really that feels good about productivity. For me, I
me
love
too.
Productivity.
Checking off little boxes.
Yeah.
Like, I have little boxes all over notebooks saying, clean the kitchen. Check.
Check mark. Yep. Dust the shelving. Check.
Check.
Right. Build the business. Check. Build the checklist. Check, 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 check. I love checking stuff off on a list.
I love it too. I'm taking a cooking class right now, and on the list was, I had to clean out my pantry and my refrigerator. Now, this is a whole food plant-based cooking.
Yes.
I mean, I can learn.
Of course,
it's,
yeah,
it's fun, but I had to clean out everything, and it took a long time.
You actually did it.
Boy, I got to mark it off. Well, of course, because they want you to send a picture.
Oh, my gosh. But when you went through, because you're really an accomplished chef, for one thing, and you're already whole food plant-based.
Yep.
So did you really find much in your property that you could get rid of?
Do you think my instructor's listening to me?
I doubt it. I don't know.
I sure cleaned up.
No,
I sure cleaned it out. No, I mean, I cleaned it.
Yeah.
Not meaning I threw out much.
You didn't throw away. You didn't have much stuff that was contraband,
no,
in other
the
words.
The only contraband that we had was, my piano teacher stays at our house if we ever go away, and she buys things like mayonnaise and ice cream.
Oh, yeah, chuck that.
But yeah. I have to say, My husband was so good because I'm looking at this ice cream and these popsicles and the real mayo instead of my, you know, homemade mayo that doesn't have fat or any of that stuff in it.
Yeah.
And I said, do you want to eat this? Because otherwise I'm going to throw it out. He's like, toss it. Throw it away. Good job, buddy.
That's awesome.
But don't tell my instructors that I didn't have a whole lot.
You know, I love to know that your kitchen had a little bit of contraband. But when we say contraband, look, when you're eating whole food plant-based, it's not about the things you can't do this and you can't have that. No, and when I say contraband, I use that kind of tongue-in-cheek. Right. You can have whatever you want.
Oh, absolutely.
It's your life. You get to pick it. You can eat animals. You can eat cheese. Yep. You can eat meat. You can eat milk, ice cream, dairy, sour cream. Just do it knowledgeably. If you're going to eat that stuff, know that it's going to negatively and detrimentally impact your health.
Absolutely. And so if you're not a throw everything out person, we go back. How many times have we said again and again, then I just want you to incorporate five fruits and five vegetables a day.
Yes.
Just add them to your plate.
That's
Make
right.
Make half your plate vegetables with no oil and no butter.
Yep.
Hello.
Yep.
And then some kind of a protein or rice and beans.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
A whole wheat tortilla with hummus on top. Doing all those things that are going to give you the nutrition you want, but you're going to fill up on the stuff that heals your body, not harms it.
I love it. Filling up on the things that heal your body, not harm it. That's fabulous. That's the way to really look at it, as opposed to all the no's. You want to think about all the yeses. All the reasons to eat fruits, vegetables, legumes, whole grains, nuts, seeds, spices, all those things that are so incredibly medicinal, really, when it comes right down to it.
They really are. We've proven that. We know that. The research is behind that.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about fat.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I want to talk about fat. You know, you've taught me quite a lot about fat. And Dr. McDougall was on our show about a year ago, before I even met you, and he talked about fat. And I know even last week we talked about fat, but I had a real, in the last 7 days, really in the last 2 weeks, I've had just an amazing shift. But in the last 7 days, some really crazy, amazing things have happened for me. One, as I've thought about over time, low-fat living, I always sort of thought, well, if I have to eat low-fat, and notice
if
that
I
language,
have
if I have to,
right,
if I have to eat low-fat.
Nobody's telling, you're an adult.
I know.
You don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
And I didn't want to. That's
right.
The key. I didn't want to. I felt like I was being told I couldn't do something, that all my foods were going to just go from all these fabulous, wonderful things to bland and tasteless. So the process really started with about not quite a year ago. I think I met you in September. You know what? What was the date that you gave that lecture? Do you remember?
It was October.
Was it in October?
I want to say it was the very first weekend of October.
So you gave a lecture on a Saturday and I met you the Thursday prior.
Right.
Right? So yoga class, you come over. Yeah. You're like, are you Misty Young? I'm like, oh God. Yes. And I go to your lecture and you're talking about whole food plant-based living and you make comments during the lecture about no oil. And about that's not a whole food.
Oh, and that's never a good thing that goes over.
That doesn't go over, right?
Let me tell you, people always think I'm just full of it when I say no oil. And they don't realize I'm not saying you can't have olives.
You
can nuts, avocado. There's plenty of healthy fat in those.
Yes.
What I'm saying is oil is a processed food that just is pure fat.
It's pure fat.
It's pure calories, fat.
pure fat.
That's all it is.
And it's inflammatory.
Yep.
It's highly inflammatory. It's an extract. And then that's the whole idea of whole food plant-based living is that we don't have extracts. We really have
whole foods.
Right. So in that lecture, you talked about no oil. And I've heard all this stuff. And like you, I hold a whole food plant-based nutrition certificate
from
T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. So I've learned all this stuff, but I hadn't internalized it.
Right.
Really hadn't.
And understanding it and buying into it. That's the big difference.
It's like you
can be told whatever you want to be told and you can smile sweetly and pat people on the head and walk away and not digest it and not internalize it. But once you internalize it, you go, what am I doing? It doesn't even add flavor.
Exactly. Now, the crazy part is I meet you. I'm so excited to, you know, kind of literally find my tribe. I'm thrilled. I feel like I finally found somebody who I can, you know, learn from and share with. And we begin this incredible relationship, which If I could just be so bold to say, I absolutely adore you in every way.
I adore you too. And I constantly learn from you. I know you keep saying you're learning from me, but I constantly learn from you too.
Well, I am constantly learning from you, and I'm so thankful for all the things that we've shared together. And I'm going to share something right now that's kind of creepy and weird, but we met in October. And this is the part that's creepy and weird. Like, I'm going to tell you how much I weigh. This is kind of weird and creepy and I don't like it, but I'm going to do it anyway because I think it's helpful and it will kind of tell the story. When I met you, Sherry, I'm thumbing through Renfo. This is my scale. My scale talks to my phone.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Are they kind?
Yeah, they're kind. All right. But the point of it is the scale talks to my phone and I really appreciate it. When I met you, I weighed about 187 pounds.
Okay.
And I'm a 6 foot tall woman. So, yeah. I mean, 187, if you're 5 feet tall, that you'd be a blueberry with legs, you know? But I mean, I carry it, but I don't carry it well because I'm overweight, right? I mean, I'm still overweight.
You look beautiful.
Well, I appreciate that and thank you. But I got up to 191 pounds. Even after I met you, even knowing all the things that I know. So I was still gaining weight. And I've been on this journey now to lose weight. So right after I meet you and you tell me, stop using oil in your cooking. I'm like, okay, I could stop using oil in my cooking. And you teach me why and how. And I start making my own veggie broth and I freeze the cubes. And all my frying and sauteing is done in broth now. So I immediately lose a few pounds. I'm like, yay, that feels great. And then I kind of fudge up and down, just kind of like going through this transition foods thing. I've told you about all the transition products and, you know, your story that, you know, you reaching out and saying, stop blaming Gary for what you're putting in your mouth. All high fat stuff, all highly processed.
Very high fat.
I'm listening to what you're teaching me. And finally, I get it. And I finally embark on low fat. And I did it about 2 weeks ago. And I feel different in a really major way. My mind is clearer. I feel like I'm having a reawakening. It's very strange. I've been in a retirement mode for about 4 years.
Yeah.
Right? So I've been like just kind of chilling, doing things for fun. I'm done with building mode and learning mode and growth mode, all those things, which I've really been focused on my whole life. I'm done with all of that. But now all of a sudden, it's all coming back. Like my brain has had this crazy reawakening. And this is going to sound so weird, but as the fat is leaving my body, literally, I'm losing weight. I'm now down under 180 pounds for the first time in a really long time. And the trend is going down. But as the fat is leaving my body, what I'm feeling is as if the electricity in my body is moving more freely.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And the oxygen is moving more freely. The blood supply is moving more freely.
Yes.
It's amazing. We've got the studies that show that your blood vessels will open up when you're on a whole food plant-based diet.
Right.
I mean, that's been shown on MRIs with people who have severe cardiovascular disease blockage. Dr. Esselton has proven that. So is Dr. Oram. So it's the only diet that reverses artery disease.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. I mean, that's why I'm so surprised that people don't buy into it. It's the only diet.
The only one. The and only proven method.
It's the only one. And people keep going back to, well, the Mediterranean diet. But I want you to think about in the Mediterranean diet, it's not the olive oil that people are getting better on. It's the fact that they're eating more whole foods. Mediterranean diet is whole foods, typically.
Right. Yes. It's fruits and vegetables and lots and lots of vegetables and grains.
Whole grains. Yep.
Well, let's talk about, I'm curious if, you know, we talk about whole foods and we talk about, I want to talk specifically about cholesterol and I want to talk about high fat. Is it possible to tease out fat and cholesterol? Can you take the two things apart? Saturated fatty acids, which is what you get when you're eating animal products, right?
Right, right.
Is that combined with cholesterol? You can't take those two things apart, can you?
It's very interesting that in our society, we have been trained that we look at food as one single nutrient. Okay, so where do you get your protein? Meat. Where do you get your calcium? Dairy. Everybody will talk to us about it and go, oh yeah, this is what you do. Fish, omega-3s.
Oh, right, of course, yeah.
Tomatoes, lycopene. But That's one nutrient out of how many? Yep, with animal products, meat, you do, yep, you sure do get protein, but you get cholesterol, you get fat, you get toxins.
You get hormones.
You get hormones. Yeah. You get
antibiotics.
Now, yeah. Some people really do go out of their way to try to buy the natural organic beef. Great for them because they're getting less toxic chemicals in that.
Still
meat
toxic, but
still,
less.
It's pretty hard to tease it out because even the cholesterol, even everything that animals eat, you're getting. So when we talk about cholesterol, it's in saturated fat, right? We know that there's cholesterol in animal products. You're eating the cholesterol that animal produced from its liver.
Oh, gross.
Just think about that.
Gross. But
what I want people to stop doing is looking at one nutrient, right? Because if we just said, oh yeah, tomatoes, they have lycopene.
Well, what else do they have?
100 million other, well, not really.
Right. Yeah. Lots of other.
They have vitamin C.
Yes.
They have phytonutrients, they have water,
which we know that water
is good for our system too. They have vitamins, they have minerals. Yep, they have lycopene.
Yep,
that's just one of the chemical compounds.
It's like people say, oh, you're having some muscle cramps. Well, you better eat bananas because they have potassium.
Right, and that's it.
Only potassium.
Right?
No, they have all kinds of stuff.
The magnesium and all of that other lovely things. So if we stop looking at food as one purpose, one nutrient, maybe we can rethink what we're eating and why we're eating it.
Right.
So getting back to dairy, mm-hmm. right? Doesn't just come with calcium. And by the way, dairy with vitamin D, that's put in there.
Right.
Right.
Yep. And vitamin D is a hormone. Everybody thinks vitamin D is a vitamin because we name it a vitamin, but it's in fact a hormone.
So even then, that's not what is in milk. It's added to milk. It's added to a lot of things, which we need vitamin D. But it also comes with fat, saturated fat, right? Hormones.
Gross.
Right?
Yeah, it's gross. When it comes right down to it, since you can't separate out saturated fat and cholesterol, what I want to talk about a little bit is what cholesterol does when it's inside your body. You know, Dr. Greger did a talk recently, and you can find this on nutritionfacts.org. If you go to nutritionfacts.org, I believe the name of the video is Food as Medicine. And at the end of the video, he's talking all about cholesterol. And at the very end of the video, he shows a photograph. And I think I've mentioned this on the show before because it was so shocking to me when I saw it. He said, well, you know, cholesterol oxidizes. And when it oxidizes, it creates these little crystals. It crystallizes. Right. On the ends. And he said, take a look at this. And he took an electron microscopy, right? Takes a photograph of it, blows it up, and you can see these little knives and needles, literally.
Little spikes
on the cholesterol. So what does that do inside your body?
Well, think about it. Sugar and salt do kind of a similar thing, but basically it's going to attack those epithelial layers, right?
Yes.
And when you're having high levels of cholesterol, that's going to attach to that damaged area, and it's going to layer upon layer upon layer, and it's actually going to cause the obstruction. Now, it also has a tendency to, cholesterol has a tendency to cause the blood vessels to harden and not be as flexible. So when you're running or you're doing exercise, our vessels actually open up more to take oxygen to different parts of your body and
then
contract, right? That's the whole part of the heart. It pumps, release, fills up, pumps, release, fills up. So those blood vessels are actually made to take that volume of blood and then to push the blood that we've taken, the oxygen and the nutrients and all those things our muscles need, back through the system to the lungs to get more perfusion and back to the heart to do it all over again.
You know, it's weird. People often talk about the human body in terms of mechanics, right? They say, well, it's a machine. It's a lovely machine. It's fascinating. But if you think about a car, you know, just think about a car and you think about pistons and you think about what's going on in there. They need all this oil and the right mixture of gasoline and oil, or unless you drive an electric car like a lot of folks do. If you're driving a combustion.
You need electricity.
Yeah, then you need electricity.
You still need oil. You still need all those other comps, yeah, right?
Not in electric cars. No, they don't have them.
Have oil?
There's no oil in the car. But the point is, on a combustion,
those joints?
No, there might be some lubricant on places. There's no joints in an electric car. There's just torque. But the thing is, I was just sort of imagining, you know, putting sand in your gas tank, and what would that do to a gas tank of an
electric? Oh, it'll destroy the whole engine.
Exactly, and that's what cholesterol does when it comes into your heart. You think of your heart as a big piston pumping and pushing and pumping and pushing, and you put that sand in there, it's going to rough it up, it's going to beat it up.
But you have to remember, we need a certain amount of cholesterol.
But we make it, right?
We make it. And then also some foods have it. Plant-based foods may have some of it, or at least it's a form of cholesterol that is used and changed by our liver into more cholesterol. So we're not saying that cholesterol is the whole culprit.
Right.
We're saying excess cholesterol is the culprit.
Well,
because our bodies can't process it all.
Exactly.
What do you do with it?
But it's not even really just excess cholesterol. It's cholesterol from an external source,
right?
Because when you're getting this cholesterol from an animal, and it's really kind of creepy, do people... I'm trying to, I'm sussing this out in my head as we go, right?
Are you talking about eating people again?
Kind of, yeah. No, I was going to say...
We don't do that.
No, we don't do that in our culture. But do people eat... animals that eat animals. I guess fish are the only animals. So fish eat animals. So you're eating the cholesterol. So if you, let's just say you're eating a fish, you're eating the cholesterol that that fish created, and you're eating all the cholesterol that that fish also ate.
But that's the whole point
of the food chain thing.
The food chain thing, but also makes mercury so bad. That's why they talk about trying not to eat large fish.
Yes.
Because they have a higher level of mercury. Two reasons. One, been in the ocean longer.
Yep.
And then they've been eating other fish.
What other, are there any other animals? I'm just like off the top of my head thinking about, are there other animals that humans eat that eat other animals? I don't know that there, I mean, there probably are. I don't know if people eat lions.
I don't
know if people eat cats. In other cultures,
cats.
In
some other cultures, I've heard, but you know,
yeah, I mean, it's
they
just
could
a
be
weird
talking smack about
they
it
could
too.
Be, yeah. I mean, I'm just kind of curious. What I do know is this: cholesterol is not good. You know, from external sources,
cholesterol is not good
because your body makes enough.
It makes enough, and if you're eating plants, you're getting the basis of cholesterol. That you can make more if you need more.
Because some plants, right, some nuts and seeds have a little bit of cholesterol to help you. It's a helpful cholesterol.
It's like the basis of cholesterol.
Got it.
So it's what we...
The building blocks.
Right, the building block of it. So if you need more cholesterol and you're eating more plants, your body's going to produce more cholesterol. So you don't actually have to eat it. Our bodies are a miracle.
Oh, they're so amazing.
If you ever wonder how our bodies have... become what they are. I have no idea how we are as perfect as we are.
Oh, but so incredibly amazing.
Oh, everything works on everything. And that's why you have to take really good care of yourself.
Because it's a system.
You can't hurt your liver.
Right.
An isolated liver disease is going to impact your whole health.
Right.
Your kidneys.
Right.
Good health. Needs to have good health. Everything depends on one another. Your balance, if you're not born blind and suddenly you lose your vision, you lose balance, right?
Right.
That connection, everything is connected and works together for this amazing bodies that we have. I mean, they truly are a gift.
Oh, they're so, so amazing.
From someone who took anatomy.
Oh. You took anatomy and physiology, of course. You had to.
We made you do not biopsies, but...
Ooh, like those little autopsy type things?
That's
or
what we had to do.
Wow.
It was really gross.
You had to cut into little thingies. And
humans.
Humans? You had to... Cadavers?
Yes, we did.
Wow.
Thank goodness they were cadavers.
Welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour, where we talk about eating people and cutting into cadavers.
That's kind of strange. Watching how the body works, it's just mind-boggling. So let's talk just a second about the difference between the cholesterol, the low-density lipoproteins.
Yes.
Actually, low-density lipoproteins are what carry the cholesterol from the liver to the rest of the body.
Okay.
Okay? And the cells actually latch onto these particles and extract the fat and the cholesterol that they need.
Okay.
So it's a beautiful marriage between our body, cholesterol, our cells, our brain cells, our muscles.
The system when it's working perfectly.
When it's working well.
Set up to do it.
The problem is if you have damage on your blood vessels or you have too much cholesterol, that's when we start to get the blockages. And if you look at the high density lipoproteins, mm-hmm. those are really fun because those are the ones that are like dump trucks. They go around and they try to find the bad cholesterol or the excess cholesterol
excess,
that we
yep.
can't use in our bloodstream. And sometimes they take it from the low density lipoprotein. So if you have a whole bunch, but you have a higher level of HDL, it can actually extract it from the LDL and take it back to the liver.
And transform it?
Transform it.
Do you transform
and
cholesterol
disposal.
Through, so transformation and disposal, but you do that through exercise a lot of the times, right? So, I mean, if you have...
You build up your good cholesterol, the
through
HDL,
exercise.
The high-density lipoprotein, through
yep.
exercise and through diet.
Yep.
And so that's what's going to counteract the cholesterol that's sitting around waiting to lay plaques, form clots, right?
Yeah, cause strokes, heart attacks.
And that's why when you have a higher level of high-density lipoproteins, then we know that your risk for certain diseases goes down.
So HDL stands for high density lipoproteins.
LDL
is low density.
And the low density one is the one that just kind of sends it around, forms deposits, things like that. So the high density ones are like your garbage trucks. They come along, pick up the
trash, it up.
Takes it to the liver, and the liver takes care of it.
Dear liver, how I love thee. Let me
it's
count the ways.
It's a good liver. We
it's
should take care
liver.
Of it.
Yeah.
Because it's important in our health.
I always like the idea, and I like thinking about my liver as being like a library. It sort of holds on to the things that I need, and then it combines them into books and gives them, and I can check out the book when I need it, right? So like people talk about, oh, you got to have complete proteins. No, that's
oh,
long
gosh.
Gone, right? That's long gone. But you get the proteins that you do need in
yep.
the and then your liver takes what you need, stores it away, and then brings
yep.
it out to you when
you
it's ready
it.
To serve it up.
Isn't
pretty awesome.
Isn't that exciting? And it takes care of the old, you know, the cholesterol that we don't need. The liver does a really good job. Unfortunately, you were going to bring up a point about fatty liver disease.
Oh, about non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
More and more prevalent in our society.
It really is. It's a sad thing. It's a sad state of affairs that so much non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, it's killing people.
Well, we're seeing it in younger and younger people. We're seeing it in teenagers. We're seeing it in 20-year-olds. That used to be a disease that you really only saw, first of all, in alcoholics, which
yep.
was damage to the liver.
Yep.
And then we started seeing it at a younger age and really couldn't identify a lot of why we're getting it.
You know, in his book, How Not to Die, Dr. Michael Greger, in his chapter on how not to die from heart disease, he has this quote in here. He's kind of referring to William C. Roberts. And William C. Roberts, I'm going to read you this little piece here. He was the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Cardiology. And what he said was, the only critical risk factor for atherosclerotic plaque buildup is cholesterol, specifically elevated LDL cholesterol in your blood. Now, everything I'm reading to you here, I'm going to just read you a little bit more out of here. It's all scientifically cited. So if you're listening to this and you say, well, I want to know more about it, you know, you can look these things up on nutritionfacts.org, or you can get the book, How Not to Die. You can check it out from the library. I'm looking at page 21. He says, indeed, LDL is called bad cholesterol because it's the vehicle by which cholesterol is deposited into your arteries. Exactly
right.
What you were just saying. But this highlights really what you were talking about in the younger people. Autopsies of thousands of young accident victims have shown that the level of cholesterol in the blood was closely correlated with the amount of atherosclerosis in their arteries. So these are already
right.
young people.
They're young.
They're
yeah.
already young. So to drastically reduce LDL cholesterol levels, you need to drastically reduce your intake of three things. Number one, trans fat, which comes from processed foods, and also naturally from meat and dairy. Number two, saturated fat found mainly in animal products and junk foods. And then finally, to a lesser extent, dietary cholesterol found exclusively in animal-derived foods, especially eggs. So it's just crazy. Dr. Greger says, do you notice a pattern here? That there are three boosters of bad cholesterol, the number one risk factor for our number one killer. They all stem from eating animal products and processed junk. And he says this likely explains why populations living on traditional diets revolving around whole plant foods have largely remained free from the epidemic of heart disease. Now, I'm not going to read this whole next section, but I want to just tell you that the next section is called It's the Cholesterol, Stupid.
Right. Well, and if you look at the cultures that he's talking about, they're the blue zones. So yes. They're the cultures where people really don't choose to eat animal products or don't have access to them, right? And they've studied them, and we've got such good research about it. So it kind of brings us back to this point where there's a study that's gone out and has been publicized that basically is saying that saturated fat isn't bad for you, and that we've actually have been convinced that it is.
I'm really curious about this, because really, who's putting this out there?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. I knew you were going to ask me that, and I researched it.
Good job.
But I want to say one thing, though, about the whole issue is who, not just who has done the research, but again, are we going through this reductionist terminology or this reductionist history that we've always had where meat only has protein.
Right, dairy we're coming down to just one calcium. Thing. It's just one thing.
And that's not the case.
Right.
We have to reevaluate it. So they're saying that there's a reassessment and a proposal for food-based recommendations. And this is in the Journal of American College of Cardiology, which I'd love to hear Dr. Esselton's information on it.
Yes.
Because he's the one, and Dr. Orem, they're the two that have published so much research about animal products and cardiovascular disease.
Yes.
So when you take any study, I want you to spend at least a minute looking at who and where the funding is coming from.
You have to.
Because this is a review.
Yeah.
So this is a review of a lot of different studies. And when you look at the disclosures, you look at who's done the research for us.
look at who's paying for it.
Yeah,
that's what we want to know.
And he received research funding from the Danish Dairy Foundation.
Well, there you have it.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
And let's see, Dennis received money from the Nutrition Amino Acid Protein Science, Nutrition and Growth Solutions. Okay.
Yeah.
Like anybody in our nation has a lack of growth.
Right. Or a lack of protein. Come on now.
The other one is Thomas. Now, I'm not giving you last names.
Okay. That's fine.
I'm not calling them out. But what it is, the whole point of this is read who
is paying for the
research and make your decision partly on that too. Research funding from the Cattlemen's Beef Association and the North Dakota Beef Council.
Right.
Second is James. He got some money from the Cattlemen's Beef Association. Andrew received funding from the Dairy Farmers of Canada and the National Dairy Council to analyze data on dairy consumption.
Oh my goodness.
Research, Jose received funding from Personalized Nutrition. Let's see.
The
Predictive
bottom line is
GNC and Weight Watchers. Okay?
Right.
Okay. I don't know.
All these guys are getting money from industries.
Money?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
And you there's know, two others that have also received money from dairy or cattlemen.
So from the dairy and meat industry, it's go figure that the dairy and meat industry is putting out information that's calling into question whether or not cholesterol is bad for you. Look. You do the math.
Cholesterol and saturated fat.
Cholesterol and saturated fat. You do the math. You go look at the pictures. Just look at the pictures.
Oh.
Look at the image. Look at the electron microscopy where there's an actual image of what happens to cholesterol in your body. And look at the spikes and needles, the crystallization on the end of that when it's oxidized. And tell me that's not going to hurt your tissues.
And if meat and dairy and eggs aren't bad for us, if they're health promoting, then why are we at a crisis with heart disease, the number one killer?
Yep.
Why is one out of three of us obese?
Yep.
Two out of three overweight?
Yep.
Why?
Why?
Because that's the majority of our food, right?
Right. Right.
We know that in America, the number one vegetable, I think, is
French
ketchup.
Fries. Oh, yeah,
French
of
fries
course.
And
yeah.
Ketchup.
Yeah. French fries again. Hey, that's two vegetables in one.
Oh, let's feed it to our kids at every meal and their school lunches.
It's so crazy. You know, I ran across some information this week while kids have been on quarantine They're getting far less sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Their diets have improved.
The school lunches give you choices of desserts, mm-hmm. right? I think there's a dessert.
Oh, yeah. Chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk mm-hmm. with every meal.
Jell-O?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Jell-O.
Oh, Jell-O's so gross. I mean, what isn't that made out of, like, horse hooves?
I have no idea.
And, you know, like cartilage and stuff?
That's what I've heard.
Oh, gross.
It's not vegan.
Yeah, it's not vegan. Exactly. Vegan.
And you think it is.
Right.
Also, you have to remember all the sugary drinks
right.
that they're getting.
Yep.
You know, I was shocked when I heard that some of these energy drinks, that can take the rust off your car.
Right. The rust right? off
the rust
your car.
Off your
what
car.
Do you think it's doing inside your body if it can take the rust off your bumper?
I know. We don't value our bodies enough. I mean,
yeah.
I think it's trite to say our bodies are our temple. But they kind of
But it's true.
Are.
Oh, they totally are, yeah.
We really need to start respecting our body a tad bit more, and it's going to respect you if you do. It's going to take care of you if you take care of it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, when we think about this idea of it's the cholesterol stupid, I really want to say this because I think this is interesting. Dr. Roberts wasn't, this is coming back to How Not to Die from Dr. Greger, and he says, Dr. Roberts hasn't only been the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Cardiology for more than 30 years, but he's also the executive director of the Baylor Heart and Vascular Institute, and he's authored more than 1,000 scientific publications and written more than a dozen textbooks on cardiology. He knows his stuff. So when we hear about a study like the one you're
right.
referencing from the meat and cheese and dairy industry,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
here we go, and they're casting aspersion, they're causing doubt, that is the tobacco playbook,
oh,
isn't it? All they have to do is peddle doubt.
All we have to do, confuse people, don't change. And
right.
if anything, these studies that are just now coming out kind of infuriate me because they give permission to people to eat more meat, more
right.
egg, more dairy.
Right. They give permission to people to be confused.
They do. And I have to say, when the USDA was first developed, right? USDA
yes.
was first
right. United States Department of Agriculture.
Right. It was to basically support the agricultural industry, right?
Right.
In the USA.
Yes.
Right. Now, why has it been created and allowed to make our dietary guidelines?
Oh, so that's who now is in charge. Yeah.
Interest?
Right. Because the Department of Agriculture gets all this funding for meat, cheese, eggs,
well,
dairy.
And Dr. Bernard, Neil Bernard, really has been working on trying to get the new guidelines for recommendations
yes.
of what people should eat. And he really wants milk taken off there because
of course.
Not only, we've talked about this before, but 70% of the population is lactose intolerant.
Yes.
Right? And those are people who have a higher level of minorities. Minorities
mm-hmm.
don't process the lactose as much
mm-hmm.
as, you know, Northern European descendants.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't pass.
Didn't pass.
It did in Canada.
Yep. They've taken milk off now.
They've taken
off the
milk
recommendations.
Off. They put water on. But we have not. Now, tell me why we have not done that.
Because there's big profits,
money.
Big money. Yeah. And it's frustrating because when people are confused and they do nothing, then they continue to get what they've always gotten, right?
Right.
I mean, there's that idea, if you keep doing what you've always done, then you're going to keep getting what you've always gotten. So if we want to continue having overweight and obesity and diabetes and cancer and heart disease and liver disease and, you know, what's that process? You go sit in a chair for hours and hours for dialysis? Like,
oh.
do we do this to ourselves? And this is the part that's frustrating is we do. And we don't do it knowingly. That's the part that
That's
I think...
That's what makes me mad.
Yeah. If people knew really what was happening inside their bodies based on what they're putting in their bodies, I don't think they would do it. And I think they don't trust it so much because they say, well, if this was true, my doctor would tell me.
Right. Or my grandmother ate this way. My mother
right.
ate this way.
Right.
But you know what? They didn't. They didn't eat this way. They didn't eat the volume of meat that we eat.
Right, and the volume of processed foods. You know, look,
no,
KFC and Dairy Queen and
right.
Burger King and McDonald's did not exist when our grandparents were little.
Well, and our parents, it didn't. It barely existed when I was a little girl. I mean, you might be able to do it once, I don't know, if you're lucky, 3 times a year, 4 times a year.
Yeah,
I mean,
not 3 to 4 times a week. Oh,
event,
a daily event.
Right, where
right.
you're getting fast food for free.
Right.
For meals. So we have to start thinking about why we need this information. You can't rely on old information. You can't look at food as one nutrient. You have
right.
to look at it as the whole
picture.
Just like you can't look at your body as one thing.
Right.
If you have heart disease, you probably have other things going on, like
right.
high blood pressure. Yep. You might have fogginess, loss of memory loss, right?
Yes.
Perfusion through your liver, perfusion to your kidneys. All of these things are impacted. Diabetes.
Yes.
Obesity.
They're all sort of a cascade, really.
They really are.
They really come to what I've kind of been learning, and I'd love to hear your take on this. What I've been learning is that everything, all of these chronic illnesses really stem from one approach.
They really do.
Which
they
is
really
the lifestyle
do.
Approach.
They do.
Right?
And even if you know, we're so worried about our country right now, and we're worried about people in it and disparities and not having health care for everybody. But if we can get the information out that it's nutrition that can heal people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think nutrition could heal the whole nation in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that sounds kind of overblown or whatnot, but we've got high levels of depression and anxiety. We've got high levels of dementia and Alzheimer's. We've got high levels of cardiovascular disease. It's really hard on our country
mm-hmm.
right now,
mm-hmm.
what our state of health is.
Mm-hmm. And it's not so hard to adopt a program that asks you to put more fruits and vegetables into your body, right?
Right. All we've ever asked, just start. You're going to feel better, and then you're going to move forward. Just start.
You're just going to feel better right away. And, I mean, coming back to, and I know we're getting close to wrapping up here, but, you know, coming back to what we started with, and I was telling you my story about how much better I feel having eaten low fat. I really, truly did think I was going to be like, oh, I'm being deprived by going low fat. And I'm not. I'm so
right.
shocked at how great I feel, how much
yep.
more energetic I feel. And I know it sounds so bizarre to say that I feel like I can feel the electricity in my body
right.
moving easier, but it makes sense, doesn't it? If I'm taking
absolutely.
The viscosity out of my body,
absolutely.
then the literally the energy pulses in my body and in my brain, they can flow easier. I feel it. I sense it. It's
absolutely.
Real.
And it's positive energy. I mean,
and
I'm
it starts to happen immediately.
Hippie,
really. Yeah.
But, you know, when you're eating animal products and the way we process the meat for our lovely little packages in the grocery store,
yeah.
think about the fear hormones, the high corticosteroids that these animals are facing when they're in, like chickens, they don't even have room to stand up, or we've pumped them so much with hormones so that they can't stand up. They can't carry their own
weight. Their legs are literally broken.
That's misery. And
yeah.
believe it or not, it creates a vibration, it creates hormones, and you're eating those.
Gross.
So think about when you're eating clean and you're eating
yes.
fruits and vegetables that are just basking in the sunshine,
yeah.
full of water and nutrients that Mother Earth has given us.
Yes.
That's healing.
There's
that's
also energy in that.
Vibration.
That's right.
It really is.
You're literally eating sunshine, right? Because you're
look at it that way.
Yeah, you're taking the yep. sun is giving the photosynthesis to the plant. The plant produces a banana, an orange, a tangerine,
yep.
grapes, strawberries, whatever, rhubarb, kale, and you eat that. You're literally eating the energy of the sun.
Chemicals that they have created to protect themselves from bugs.
Yes.
Right? You're eating that, and that's healing your body.
Those phytochemicals.
It's really a beautiful cycle of healing. Versus, now I want you to look.
Yeah.
Now we're looking at an animal that has been abused, horrifically butchered, right?
Yes.
Scary, scary. I mean,
yes.
Following people down a train and knowing that they're going to do something to you
yes.
is pretty scary, right?
Yes,
animals
yeah.
have emotions,
they do.
They have feelings.
Yeah.
So you're eating all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the energy cycle that you're introducing to your body versus the energy cycle of a beautiful plant that's basking in the sun.
Oh, I love it. I love
that. Nice
I love the hippie approach. Yeah.
I know. I don't use my hippie. I don't let my hippie out very often.
Release your inner hippie.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. You know, when you're a nurse and things, you really are trained to try to convince people for a way of life through science.
Yes.
When you get too hippie, they shut you down.
Right.
They, you know, their eyes glaze over.
Right,
and they look at you like, oh,
well, because they want you to say something like, would you like fries with your Lipitor? Right? You know? I mean, Lipitor is a cholesterol medication, right? It's a cholesterol-lowering medication. What are some of the best strategies you can suggest right now for reducing? And I love that you said you can't really separate fat and cholesterol, right? What are the best strategies for reducing fat and cholesterol in your body today, right now?
Today? Well, you know, the magic of fiber is just amazing.
Yes.
You know that fiber is almost like a sponge that has that rough edge that cleans you out. So excessive cholesterol leaves with fiber. So where do you get fiber? Oh, chicken, fish?
No, I don't think so. Eggs?
Not a speck of fiber. So fiber really helps to clean out excessive cholesterol.
Best sources of fiber? Beans?
Beans.
Whole grains?
Whole grains. And we're talking brown rice. What else?
Quinoa,
broccoli, wheat,
chickpeas,
whole wheat, chickpeas, yeah. Every plant made has fiber. There's not a plant on
the planet that doesn't have fiber. It really comes down to eating plants.
Eating high fiber, eating your plants, because we know that they bring in precursor to cholesterol that your body can convert if you need it and really heal your body through that cholesterol, but also supply your brain and the rest of your muscles with the cholesterol that you need to keep moving.
The cholesterol you need that you make. That's the part that's really important.
Right.
It's in your system. Yeah. It's already there. You make it. Okay, that's awesome.
Extra water, right? Because we want to clean out our body and we really want our kidneys and our liver to perfuse well. And you have to remember that water is a huge component of our body.
Yes.
And our blood supply. And we want our blood to be moving. We don't want it sluggish, full of fat. We don't want to be dehydrated, because we really do want it making it through our vessels without being slowed down and then having time to lay down deposits of fat and cholesterol on your blood vessels and restricting your blood vessels. Exercise. I can't talk enough about exercise for your brain and for your body to keep everything flowing and moving well.
Mm-hmm.
But any plant, whole food plant, any whole food grain, any bean, all of those things just really heal our body. And if you are worried about cholesterol or fat, then have an avocado. I mean, hello, I love it when I eat avocados. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah,
or nuts,
they're so good.
Almonds. I've already said that every morning for the omega-3s, I grind up flaxseed, chia seeds, hemp seeds, and I put that on top of my oatmeal, or I put it on top of a salad. So you're getting the healthy fats that your body craves.
Right. Didn't have to come from fish, right? No. Like everybody's like, well, you got to take those cod liver oil. Ooh, gross. And then you burp that up the rest of the day.
Man.
Gross.
Yeah, you and I have had the same pill.
Oh,
but again,
when
you go Whole Foods, two things, and I say this over and over, and people are going to get tired of me, but
B12,
and then take your vitamin D.
And D. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're outside in a bikini, you're going to get funny.
But you need those two things as supplements. You know, I know a while ago we talked about maybe giving a recipe of the week, and we haven't been real good about that. But
so bad. Can I tell you my new one?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I
want to
know.
It is so tasty. It's almond butter with cocoa powder.
Just straight up almond butter. Do you make your own or do you buy it?
Usually buy it.
Yeah. So it's just ground almonds with cocoa. Yeah.
You know, almond butter.
Almond butter.
And if you read the back of the label, they might have added a little salt, but there's no oil. There's no palm oil. It's just almond butter.
Uh-huh.
Just like I want people, when they're looking at peanut butter, turn the label over.
Yeah. Because peanuts and salt.
Or just peanuts. Palm oil has saturated fat in it. So why we're putting that in peanuts?
Makes no sense.
Peanuts already have oil when you grind them up.
Right.
Okay, so that and cocoa powder. That's it.
And it's so good. You blend them all up,
which you probably have to use a Cuisinart.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, sometimes almond butter gets pretty stiff. Blend it all up. If you have a sweet tooth, then add a little bit of maple syrup.
Yep.
Put it on whole wheat bread.
Oh, my mouth is watering.
Even a banana.
Oh, I bet that's so good.
I'm that bad person that takes a bite. Little dab.
Little dab.
Bite. Dab.
Dab.
cross-contamination.
Dang. Oh, yeah. I bet that would be good inside of one of those Ezekiel tortillas, yep, like the thing we've talked about before. Yeah,
that sounds so great. Yeah, but remember, if you're trying to lose weight, take out your spoon
and actually measure it.
Servings.
God, you said that to me so many times, and I heard it, but I didn't internalize it. And I started doing it, but then when I really internalized the truly going for low-fat living, that's when I started seeing the rapid transformation. Right. It's so exciting.
But if you're not trying to lose weight,
you don't need to worry about it.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's for the people that are trying to lose weight or for people who have cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. If you already have known cardiovascular disease, we really are trying to limit your oil just until you can get healed. And then,
and when you say limit your oil, you're not talking about added oil. You're talking about the oils, the fats that are in things like almond butter already.
Right. Peanut butter.
I know we probably have maybe a minute left, and so I want to tell you about my recipe.
Oh, is it better than mine?
No, it's different.
Okay,
because yours is more desserty and sweet, and I love it. I still have a thing for texture, and I know eventually, this is not on my agenda now, but eventually lower salt is going to be on my agenda too.
That's always good. You don't need extra salt.
Exactly. So I'm going to be working on that in the future, but for right now, tofu, which does not have any salt in it.
And tofu is a really good source of calcium.
I love tofu. I love it. I love to add it to my burritos. And you know, I'm a burrito girl and I eat them almost every single day. But I've been taking tofu and marinating it. I chop it up little tiny and I marinate it in a non-chicken vegetable bouillon.
Okay.
Right? So I marinate it in a non-chicken vegetable bouillon. It has a chicken flavor to it, which I think comes from nutritional yeast.
Probably.
And some salt. So there's salt in it, which is why I brought up the salt issue. But then I take it out in these tiny little pieces that I've marinated for 2 days. Maybe this time that's going to be 3 days. I'm going to let it marinate for a really long time.
Oh my goodness.
I know. And then I cook it in the oven on the convection setting. So I'll cook it for 4 hours, maybe at 350.
Okay.
It just dries it out. It gets all leathery. Crunchy. And chewy, and oh man, it's so good.
I kind of copied you because you said this to me.
Yeah.
So I got tofu and cut it up into slices.
Yes.
Okay. And then I marinated it with tamari sauce and some, I think it was sriracha, but a spice because I like spice.
Yes.
Spice makes me satisfied.
Yeah, spicy stuff.
And so then I did the dehydration thing, basically convection oven at 20, I think.
Yeah.
Or 200, I'm sorry, at 200 degrees for probably about 40 minutes. And it comes out thin. So it was kind of like making my own fake meat.
So sort of like making your own fake sandwich meat that you could then turn into some kind of yummy
sandwich. So I added that
mustard. That sounds good.
Tomatoes, sprouts, lettuce.
My mouth is watering.
It was good.
It sounds great.
It was really good.
Well, this is amazing and awesome. And I hope that our listeners are able to take those easy recipes.
The kids would love the almond butter and cocoa powder.
I saw the picture that you posted of that. Where did you find that whole grain bread?
Oh, it was at a co-op.
It was at a co-op.
I had to take a trip up to Coos Bay real fast.
Yeah, I got to have some of that. That looks so good. Thank you for sharing your knowledge, your passion, your wisdom, your medical experience with our listeners. I know that they appreciate it. I know I appreciate it. I'm internalizing it. I'm learning. So to all of you who have joined us today on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, thanks for being here with us on KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial or anywhere, any time of day, intergalactically on podcast. We're so glad you came to us. We're coming to you from Brookings Harbor, Oregon on KCIW. We'll look forward to seeing you again on the Ocean Mist Power Hour in the future. Thank you so much, and we'll see you again soon.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.